Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse number 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. We have been walking through a series of lessons geared around the spiritual disciplines. Last week, in speaking about the discipline of submission, we spoke of freedom. We spoke of our love for freedom. As American citizens, we speak and boast about our freedom frequently. If we are excited about our freedom in the U.S., then we should be even more excited about our freedom in Christ. I love my freedom, and I enjoy my freedom, and I don't think it's improper for me to say that most of us in here loves freedom. We are recipients of this freedom because Jesus Christ has granted us freedom in Him. It was His mission to proclaim and to grant freedom. Recall Jesus, who said when He was speaking, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." If you haven't taken time lately to thank the Lord for your freedom, you need to do so today. Before you take another breath, another step, or say another word, you need to say, "Thank you, Lord, for freedom." You don't even have to use your own words. You can use the words of the psalmist who said, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free." Or the psalmist who said, "I hold fast to your statutes. O Lord, do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free." Or you can just acknowledge the words of Jesus and affirm them in your heart and in your life, because it was Jesus who said, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Church, how many of you believe that we are free indeed? So what do we do with said and celebrated freedom? What are we to do? Some could argue that with all this freedom, we are given license to do whatever we wish to our heart's satisfaction. Since I am free, I can do whatever I want to do. Don't you remember when you were young and you kept saying, "I can't wait till I turn 18. Because when I turn 18, I am free to do whatever I want to do." And some of us turned 18, and I see some of you parents looking at your kids right now. And when you turned 18 and you begin, you were free to do whatever you want to do. You were free to pay bills, and you were free to be broke. And some of us said, "Yeah, you know, it's not too bad not being free under mom's house, under dad's house." When we are granted freedom, sometimes we think that's license to get out there and do whatever we want to do. Human nature is such that when we experience freedom, sometimes we lose our minds. That's why it's important for us to continue to remind and encourage our college students to not lose their heads when they go off to college and they begin to experience freedom for the first time. And this is why the Apostle Paul reminds us to be responsible with freedom that we have been granted by God. Thus Paul writes to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature." Freedom was not granted so that you could go right back to being a slave to sin. It was not granted so you could disregard the goodness and freedom of God, rather serve one another in love. Freedom was granted for us to embrace God's goodness and to share His goodness with others through serving one another. You might be saying, another sermon on serving. I've asked that same question. It seems like we keep coming back to serving. It seems like we can't escape serving. You can't talk about the life of Jesus without talking about serving. You can't talk about relationships without talking about serving. You can't talk about gifts in the church without talking about serving. You can't talk about leadership in the church without talking about serving. And as we continue an exploration of the spiritual disciplines, we can't have this discussion without talking briefly on the discipline of serving. In our church, we have placed a premium on serving. Months ago, I preached about servant leadership and proclaimed that when we seek to identify leaders, do not look for the most powerful or the most popular or the loudest or the most knowledgeable or the most aggressive or the best communicator. No, instead, first look for those who have been willing to lay down their lives as servants. They've been willing to lay down their lives for others. The ones who are committed to serving. We look to identify these ones as leaders because they embody the life of Jesus, who self-described His purpose in these terms in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." There is a reason that the graphic chosen to depict serving is that of servicemen and women in the military. We often describe their roles as ones willing to sacrifice, even to pay the ultimate sacrifice of their life for others. When we look at service, do we define it in terms of a sacrifice, even a sacrifice for others? To ask this question is to identify something important about the discipline of service. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the person serving. It's not about what you are going to get out of it. It's not about what result you are going to get. Or the result. True service is the ultimate risk, because in giving your life, you are not guaranteed to experience the payoff. Jesus gave His life for the entire world so that everyone would come to Him. The ultimate payoff to that is that everybody would come to God through Jesus, but the unfortunate and sad case is that there are many who have rejected God's free gift of grace through Jesus. But had Jesus consumed Himself with percentages or payoffs as motivation to serve, He might not have served in the way that He served. We serve for others, not for self-indulgence. Serving can become just as prideful and self-indulgent as self-glossing and self-righteousness. When we feel the need to announce how we are serving, or when we are seeking recognition for our service, it has the danger of becoming a feeder of our self-indulgent desires. It's probably the reason service is often connected with humility in the scriptures. Jesus served being fully aware of his link to the Father, and he served as his primary motivation. If you serve from a primary need to be appreciated, it has the potential to be self-serving. If you serve with a primary need to be seen, it has the potential to become self-serving. If you serve with a primary desire to illuminate the good you are doing, it has the potential to be self-serving. If the only serving you will involve yourself in is a service that is clean and at your level, that is to say, I'm not going to do anything that's beneath me, then it has the potential to be self-serving. True service is one of the ways to be reminded that God put us here to be a blessing to others. It is a way to be reminded that men and women have needs, and God uses us to meet those needs. True service is a way to be reminded that through serving, healing and peace can be offered to a hurting and chaotic world. True service is a way to remind everyone that God is near and that he is using our hands and our feet. True service is a way that people will see God. Have we ever considered that the discipline of service provides a window where men and women can see the heart of God, not only for the one being served, but for the one serving? Jesus spoke as recorded in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse number 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me.'" Our desire to see and experience God is often a desire we would much rather experience on a mountaintop or something that takes place in an extravagance. Yet the simplest way to enjoy a true encounter with God is through serving others. And we would like others to experience God, and we often think that the more bells and whistles we provide, the more likely they will see God. Yet it may be more likely for others to see God through our humble service for them. I said earlier that our church has placed a premium on serving, not because it's something to make us feel good about ourselves, but because it is how we determine to mimic our Savior Jesus Christ. And since we have placed a premium on service, we determine to not reduce our personal desire to serve in lieu of finding others who excel in serving. That is to say, it's not for us to just look around and say, "Hey, oh, Perry's good at serving. I'll let him do the serving. I'll go do something else." No, we all seek to serve in mimicking Jesus Christ. It should be the fundamental and straightforward profession of every believer in Christ to want to be a servant. "Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you." I know that we have suggested ways that you could become a better servant by discovering your grace gifts or your spiritual gifts and identifying your gift mixes and finding how your gift mix can be implemented in the life of the church here. And that's great. That's fine. And that's always available. That's a ministry that's always available. You can go on the website and take a little test there, and it'll give you your gifts, your grace gift mix. But while we are on the subject of availability, that is exactly the place we all need to come. And so the question for us this morning isn't what's your grace gift or what you're good at or what you excel at, what you like to do. The question for us this morning is simply this: are you available? When your brother and sister need something, are you available? Are you available to listen to them? Are you available to cry with them? Are you available to laugh with them? Are you available to feed them? Are you available to nurse them to health? Are you available to speak for them? Are you available to defend them? Are you available to chastise them? Are you available to preach to them? Are you available to teach them? Are you available to correct them? Are you available to share recreation with them? Yeah, the question for us this morning is, are we available? If so, just profess to God in the very simplest of ways, Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. I find it interesting that Peter, who was one of the individuals that received one of the most humble forms of service when Jesus got on his knees and washed the feet of his apostles. And if you recall in that scene in John chapter 13, it was Peter that kind of rebuked the Lord, said, "Hey, no, you have no part of it. You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me." Then Peter said, "Okay, well, not only wash my feet, go ahead and give me an entire bath," right? It's interesting that it was Peter who kind of first knocked at that notion that Jesus was going to serve him. It would be Peter who would write these words. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard Jesus say things like, "Love one another, love as I have loved you." And Peter, who after he received that foot washing, heard Jesus say, "As I've done for you, you do for others." And that was a teaching that Peter didn't feel like he had to keep that within himself. So he writes in his letter to the Christians in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." Continue to show deep love for each other. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. If you believe that, if you think that that's good teaching, if you think that's good at spiritual advice, then I would ask you, if you're available, ask God, Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. Or maybe it's a struggle for you and you just need to cry out to God to your desire to be a servant. If that's where you're at, listen to this song and let it minister to you.
Lord, I want to be a servant, giving all my praise to you, giving all I have to please you, Lord, my heart make pure and true. Lord, I want to be a servant. Bring me closer to your will. Father, all I want is to serve you more. Make me worthy to serve you still.
Words come slow when it comes to expressing my true feelings of humility and my heart's desire to serve. But Lord, you've done so much for me through the cross. I just want to give my life, my love, and all of my heart back to you. Under the shadow of the cross, let me hide myself and all that would shut out your glory. And allow me to see you, to know who you really are, so that someone else can see you.
Servant, giving all my praise to you, giving all I have to please you, Lord, my heart make pure and true. Lord, I want to be servant, bring me closer to your will. Father, all I want is to serve you more. Make me worthy to serve you still.
The pertinent question for us this morning is, are we available? Are we available for God to use us? Are we available to be the hands and feet of Christ? And thus, are we available for one another? I quote from Francis of Assisi a lot. He was a remarkable human being. 13th century, 12th century, lived in a monastery. He didn't write a lot. A lot of people wrote the things that he said, but he was just a remarkable human being with regards to this idea of embodying the gospel of Jesus Christ and not just saying things. You know, he's the one that said, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. We sing a song sometime here that is based on a prayer attributed to Francis of Assisi. The prayer is this: Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That's such a beautiful prayer. And if I were to summarize that prayer in just a few words, I would summarize it in this, and saying that what St. Francis of Assisi was really saying was, Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. Let's pray. God, thank you for constantly reminding us and bringing us back to service and serving. God, as celebratory and as excited as we are about our God, we are equally excited about serving. God, we see that you have granted us so much freedom. And because we live in so much freedom, it's all the more stimulus for us to serve one another. So God, I thank you for all the tools and people that you've put in our lives to help us to discover our gifts and our talents and our strengths and our weaknesses. I appreciate all of that, God. We know that you have given us those tools. But God, before we get to discovery of all those things, we want to profess to you as a body of believers that we're available. God, we are available for you to take us and send us to foreign countries if that's your desire. If it's down the street, if it's down the row in the pew, God, we're available to be your servants. We're available to serve one another. So Lord, we profess to you communally. Lord, make us servants. Make us just like you. God, forgive us for when we've turned service into some self-serving entity. God, forgive us when we've only served just so that we could get recognition. God, forgive us for when we served thinking that the result has to be this way, and when it's not that way, that we deem the service a failure. God, forgive us for all of that. And God, help us to focus on humility. Focus on your gift of freedom and the gift that we can give of service. We praise your holy name. We bless you. We pray that you would bless this body of servants. Lord, make us servants. Make us just like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this song, as a constant reminder of that profession that I just prayed, and hopefully you've joined in with me in that prayer and that desire. If there's something that we can do for you as the body of believers here, there's something that we can do to minister to you, to serve you, please give us that opportunity to serve you. We beg you for that opportunity. If you are not a Christian and you have been thinking about becoming a Christian, or you want to talk more about becoming a Christian, we want to offer that ministry to you. If you've been talking with someone and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and you want to make a profession of faith and you want to celebrate that in baptism, we can do that for you as well. We want to serve you. However we can serve you, we want to do that. Let's stand. Let's sing this song.